can't even make connections. If you can't make connections, you can't have life. When you're thinking, you have to make connections, and they have to be correct connections. And then the light comes on. Like when you plug the plug in, you plug it in right, you twist it around, man, and turn it back, it ain't gonna give you no light. You have to put it in the way it's supposed to go. You stick it in your faucet, in the water faucet, you ain't gonna get no light. You have to put it where it's supposed to go, and then you get some light. Praise be to Allah. You all don't have jobs, and you don't busy yourself doing anything. 80% that I'm looking at are just idle. I ought to keep you here until the sun goes down. At least you would have done something if you left to listen to me. I know what you say. Well, I'll get up and leave. You will only get up and leave if Allah permits you to get up. You cannot get up and leave on your own. Allah will have to permit you to get up and leave. Nothing happens except that Allah permits it. God permits it. Okay, so let's look now at this eating. Is it just physical eating, like we eat a piece of fruit or the fig? He says, curse the fig tree, it has no fruit on it for me, I'm hungry. It took Allah's help to me in the Quran to make me appreciate the Bible. Because I thought it was an insane book. As a young minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I said, this is a book for the insane. That's what I did, really. Because I read a man come up to a fig tree, and just because it had no figs, he cursed it, he ought to feel sorry for it. He ought to give it some more fertilizer, or plow the ground around it, or put some water on it, find out how come it doesn't have any figs, how come it's not bearing figs. But curse it, I think that's a maniac. Oh, fig tree, I'm hungry. You have no figs. Pesky on you that you bear, that you wither up and bear no fruit ever again. That's a selfish maniac. That fig tree should come up in the judgment and say, that disciple of yours, he's mad, God, he's a madman. But now that I understand it, it's beautiful. God blessed me to understand it. The keys are in the Quran to unlock the Bible. God blessed me to find the keys in the Quran, and I unlocked it. But I had to keep thinking, keep turning, and I had to be patient. Finally unlocked. So now I know what the fig tree is. It's not the fig trees that you got to get by your figs, produce the figs that you buy in jewels. Maybe jewels, but jewels, like the fine things that you wear. But not that jewel, not that store. Yes. It's not that fig tree. It's the fig tree of your thinking mind. It's the fig tree of your thinking mind. But is it right to curse it? No, this wasn't Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never did that. The Bible says he did that, but Jesus Christ never did that silly thing. Even in the true meaning, it's still wrong to curse it. Do we have a connection in Islam? Muhammad said God did not send him to curse people. They're saying that that's incorrect. They think that prophets came to curse people. So he did not send me to curse anybody with curses. No. Now, we still have a connection in English with this kind of thinking for the fig tree, this kind of meaning of fig tree. It is a figment of your imagination. Figment. Oh, that's a figment of your imagination. I mean, you have no education to support that. You have no science to support that. You have nobody else with authority that we respect to support that. That's only a figment of your imagination. You thought that up. That's what you envisioned. That's what you pictured in your own mind without anything to support it from what we know as support for logic or support for rational thinking. Oh, that's just a figment of your imagination. So we still use it, don't we? So what does it mean then? Let us let the language help us understand what it means. Because Adam's language is still here. Adam's dead, but his language is still here. So you still have figment from Adam. The meaning from Adam, from the first man, is still here. It may not be in the church, may not be in the message, but it's still in the language, in some language. It's an English language. It is a figment of your imagination. So Adam's descendants, or by some way, it has stayed, the meaning has stayed with us. Either Adam kept it or his descendants have kept it. The descendants, following the language of Adam, have kept this meaning for us. It is a figment of your imagination. All right. So what does it mean? It means that's what you arrived at by thinking on your own, with no guidance from science or no guidance from learned people that we respect. So it's just natural activity of the mind, of the mind that has the power to imagine and think and come up with something. Right? Imagination. But should it be cursed? No. Should say, cursed be the fig tree, because it bears no fruit. Sometimes it doesn't bear fruit. But it doesn't mean that it's bad. Doesn't mean that it's worthless and we should curse it. By the fig and the olive and Mount Sinai, surely man has been created in the most excellent of molds. So there the fig is given its honor back. With the revelation given to Muhammad, the fig is given its honor back. And we know in science, in the scientific world, especially in the commercial world right now, the workers are sometimes aided by soft music, heavenly music, that's playing quietly as they're working. And what is it given to them for? To help relax their natural mind so that the original creativity can work, so that the fig can work. The fig, symbolically, the fig in man's intellectual ability, or in his thinking ability, the fig can work, so he can be more imaginative and more creative. So science, a commercial world, recognize that you shouldn't curse the fig and throw it away. I hope you're following me. Some of you still got your hospital bands on. I got something for you too. And it's, I love you. I love you so much that I hope that you get some of this too. Praise be to Allah. The question was asked to Muhammad, peace be upon him, what is the better Islam? Now, mind you, a person asking a question like this is coming from a hidden position. He's coming from a position that's hidden. He's not coming straight. He's not coming out in the open. What is the better Islam? Prophet Muhammad, wise and perfect man for God. He didn't say what I would have said. I would have said, I'm a little dumb now, I'm not that wise, and I'm not perfect. I would have said, what the hell you mean? What is the better Islam? There's only one Islam. But Prophet Muhammad answered him. He said, to feed the hungry. To feed the hungry. Praise be to Allah. And he added something else, but my focus is on hunger. So I'm a hunger. I begin that God needs nothing, nobody to feed him. We hunger, God doesn't hunger. All right. So he said to feed the hungry. Now, it begins with what you know and understand. It begins with what the ordinary people know and understand. So answering this man before others who were uneducated, unlearned in scripture, etc., he didn't harm anybody. Muhammad didn't harm anybody. He helped everybody when he answered that man. I might have harmed somebody the way I am. I said, what the hell you mean? What is better Islam? There's only one Islam. What are you coming here for? I would have disturbed the peace. But when Haman kept the peace, kept everybody comfortable and peaceful, he said, the better, he said, he just told him to feed the hungry. He said, what is the better Islam? My hunger said, to feed the hungry. And I said, let us start with the first answer to the question, the first level of meaning that everybody can grasp. I didn't eat today. I don't have a job. Nobody gave me any money. I don't have a home to go to and get food. I'm hungry. So somebody need to feed that hungry person. And the government of America, it has food for that hungry person. And most governments now have food for the hungry. And you know, we still have a lot of hungry people, but there is, you can go to government and get food. And go to churches and get food. And come to some imams and get food. Then you can't. I know imams, and I know several, but I know one, Hamid Doga in Villa Park. If he really believed you were hungry and you went to Villa Park and told him you were hungry, he'd take you and give you some food. He'd feed you, and you'd be fed. And I do believe our imams would do the same thing. If they believe you, you know. But if you come in for some shiest, then that's different. Yes. Well, that's the first level of understanding. Now let's go to the scriptural level of understanding. In the Bible, let's start with the Bible. Because the Quran has to continue God's revelation wherever it left off. If it left off with Jesus Christ, Muhammad has to take it from there and continue it, to take it home. Okay, so in the Bible, it says, bread is the doctrine. And it says, blood or wine, but wine is the spirit of the New Testament, or the spirit of the doctrine. The spirit of the New Testament, wine. So here's a new meaning now for eating and drinking. The Bible has introduced to us a new meaning for eating and drinking. We eat bread physically, but it's a sign of us eating or digesting mentally. Food for thought. See, everything is here. It ain't going nowhere. Oh, that's food for thought. So the scripture raises us up from the concrete level to the interpretive, to the level of interpretation or translation of this, of these meaning, words, terms. And we're taught it by the gospel that bread means doctrine, and doctrine means teaching. Do you know that? If you don't, then you learn it today, please. Doctrine, especially if you want to be an imam, you better learn something. If you want to be an imam, doctrine means teaching. So we digest the teaching, digest it mentally. It is food for thought, and we eat it with our mental graspers. We eat it, and we digest it, put it into our mental makeup, where it helps maintain the structure of our mind, like physical food maintain the structure, the body. Right? But we also thirst. We need to drink. And the Bible says that the liquid, or the blood, or the wine, which is what the wine is nothing but another picture of the blood, is the spirit of the New Testament. The spirit of the New Testament. And it says that you should follow scripture in letter and in spirit. Not just in letter and not just in spirit, but in letter and in spirit. If you follow it that way, you're not going to be a dumb follower. Because you're going to be following it as a student of it. In letter means as a student of it, the doctrine. As students studying the teaching, or learning the teaching, the doctrine. And you're going to follow it in spirit. In fact, you need the teaching to improve your spirit. The spirit without enough teaching is not such a good spirit. Maybe an innocent spirit, but your spirit can become much more stronger, much more powerful, if you become better educated. in the doctrine or in the teachings.
Look how
we were introduced to become Muslim. We were all called students in the early years of the Nation of Islam. Every member of the Nation of Islam was called a student. And when you came in, you got a student enrollment. What they gave you to answer questions, it was called student enrollment. And you couldn't even get in until you passed that. The student enrollment. So every member was called student. And the man that we came to call a God, I think a God, in the name of Muhammad, Mr. Farad, W. Farad, Farad Muhammad, W.D. Farad, he conversed with us as a teacher with students. Say, Harry, your teacher is waiting for you to complete your assignment. Everybody's student. So this is a wonderful man that came to put our eyes back on important things in religion. That religion is not just feeling good and shouting and carrying on. God wants your mind helped. And he called us the mentally dead. He didn't say physically dead. He said forget about the physically dead. No help for him. That's what he said. And I know I can't help him. There ain't nothing I can do for him. Maybe cut some weeds right around the grave site and put some flowers up there or something. And I hope they knew I did it, but I don't know if they knew I did it or not. So he said, the mentally dead. He made religion all about helping the mentally dead. And he called himself a teacher and called all of us students. Isn't that coming in the picture of the Christ in the New Testament? Who comes as a teacher and tells the people, my body is really doctrine. Don't look to me as a person. Don't see me in human form. See me in the form of teaching. That's exactly what the man is saying, but they, as it darling, they deviated, they went astray. He said, don't look at me as a person, as a human person, with this physical body. Look at me as a body of knowledge. My body that I want you to see is the doctrine. And the life of this body is not the blood of animals that flow in the veins of flesh of the animal world. The blood in this body that I'm offering to you, that I'm showing you, is the spirit of my message. The spirit of my message. His message was the gospel, called the gospel, or the Injil in Islam, the New Testament. The spirit of the New Testament. The spirit of the doctrine. Now, if I didn't know Islam, seeing this understanding of Christianity, God knows I'd be a Christian. I would. If I hadn't been guided by the Quran first to see what's in the Bible, and if I had come to see this led by the hand of a priest or something in Christianity, I would become a Christian. Because it's so beautiful, it makes sense, it's beautiful when interpreted. It's beautiful when seen correctly. But it was insane the way I was looking at it. And that's what I call it. I call it a book of insanity for insane people. And if I didn't have the knowledge I have now, I would still be called it the book of insanity for the insane people. I would still be called it that. Because just looking at it without understanding, it's a crazy book. I have to say it, it's a crazy book. The first thing I couldn't understand is why God, a loving God, who's supposed to have the power to do whatever he wants to do, why would he take an innocent son, if he can make one, why would he take an innocent son and have that son suffer like the Christian world say he suffered for sinners? To me, that was insane. And it became more insane when I followed the logic that they give. Now, this ain't really his son. This is him. Well, he's suicidal. He's suicidal. Now I become more insane. This is him. He's suicidal. He looked at the world and said, oh, I regret that I have done this. That's what it said. It repented him that he had done it. He looked at his work. That's his work. And he said, it repented me that I did this. I regret that I did this. Now I'm going to go in and commit suicide for them and let them know that I'm committing suicide for them and get them back home. I, as a student, a young student in my teens, late teens and early 20s, I say, that's a madman. That is insane. This is a picture of a madman. Now, can't you see that Satan has had a hand in forming the language of religion for this world? And I received a message from Robitaille, from my old friend who is the Secretary General Robitaille now. I think it was got demoted because he was the minister. He was a minister. He had a big high job before. I don't think he was as big as Robitaille, but maybe Robitaille is the more urgent need. And they put him there, great man, great ability and resources. They put him there as the Secretary General of Robitaille. And I got a message from him saying that the Jews writing Quran, translating Quran, and they are making a messy job of it. And says, not the first time that this has been done in history. They have done it before. And it's a need for the Muslim world to make Quran available to Jews. So they are going to be producing Quran to distribute them among Jews and Christians. Because these Jews and Christians are going to read most likely this new translation by the Jewish people, Jewish so-called scholars of scripture, translating the Quran. So it's always we're having problems. But don't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it. Doesn't disturb me. It irks me a little bit, but the discomfort is gone. They cannot succeed.
No.
In fact, they're only going to help people wake up to real Islam.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to backfire on them.
Right.
Yes. Praise be to Allah. So I want to conclude this with the last reference that I made, and that is a reference to eating not physical food, but eating meaning digesting, feeding mentally on knowledge, proper knowledge, and digesting it to build the body of knowledge for yourself, like you have a body, physical body for yourself. So I want to conclude it with that. And now, when we look at what Muhammad said, what is the better Islam? He said to feed the hungry. You got it?
Yes.
Now you got it? He said to feed the hungry. And that's what he was all about. From the beginning of his mission, he was about having literacy raised, having all those who couldn't read learn to read, had to learn to read and write. Learn to read and write. And the message of Islam is read. The message of the Quran is read. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Read. That's the message of the Quran. And the word, the name of the Quran is Al-Quran, meaning that which is for reading and reciting.